Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, sports fans, Coach Nick here, and welcome to the P-Ball Breakdown live show coming at you on an early Tuesday morning Halloween. As always, I'm joined by Andrew Combo Salop to discuss the latest and greatest in the NBA. And we got a doozy in the middle of the night last night. Before I went to bed, I saw it, but we had to get up and talk about the James Harden trade. It finally went through. I don't know what's going on that late night, why they had to do it then. But hey, Combo, how's it going today?
It's going well. I just switched the camera up mid live YouTube TV. I'm the man, Coach Nick. You see how quickly I did that? That was crazy. All right, let's go.
Hey, whatever it takes to make this work. But this is also going to be on audio in case you miss this later. You can listen to it on our pod. But we've got to talk a little bit about this trade. It's a kind of an interesting trade. I'm not so sure that Philly got much back for this trade. But what are your initial thoughts?
I mean, they got Rocco back, which I think he could be a serviceable playoff player. I don't think Ty Lue was the biggest fan of him. Marcus Morris is playable. KJ Martin might be a trade asset. There was one other guy. I think I'm missing somebody, but they also got some picks that they could, flip for maybe another star eventually. I don't know if there's a star available right now that makes sense. But the interesting thing in all of this is that everybody thinks Joel will eventually be on the move, except Sixers fans, from what I'm gathering. So that'll be another interesting developing story. I think Sixers fans are happy about this because obviously James Harden didn't want to be there. But they feel like to be the only ones that think Joel is going to retire a Sixer.
Yeah. Well, okay. Don't forget Nick Batum is also going, which...
Solid vet. Good for the locker room, probably.
Yeah. It's interesting because when you trade a guy like Harden, you kind of think, well, you better get a legit starter back. And the only one that halfway resembles that would be Marcus Morris, who they don't really need. A, he's always injured, and B, they already have Tobias Harris who's playing well. So I don't know how that's going to work so well. PJ Tucker, Covington, we like, but it never seems to get run, even though he probably should get more. Batum, I think, will ultimately help them as well. He's been playing in this weird, five spot sometimes for in small ball lineups. So maybe they go with him when Embiid rests a little bit. And KJ Martin is a bit of an unknown. They got some picks, this was kind of an unimpressive package in my mind for the Sixers, who also had to give up PJ Tucker, who I think you and I both maybe agree he's kind of past whatever ultimate effectiveness he had. Is that safe to say?
Defensively, he's still okay. He's not as willing of a shooter as he used to be. And right. I think that's an issue because he used to be a potent three-point shooter, especially from the corner, which is so valuable in the modern NBA.
Yeah. I mean, he was shooting. I'm just checking right now. He's shooting 40% and taking, less than two a game. Last year, he took less than two. So he's a good three-point shooter for the last several years. He just doesn't take very many anyway, as a guy who just stands still in the corner. So, the value for him defensively, I think also at 38, it just wasn't as what it used to be. So it's just curious to me. I can't quite figure out exactly how this all went down. Like, why did they go down now in the middle of the night? There are some ideas, though, that I might have to figure this out, because obviously it's on the Clippers side, too, to want to make a deal. And remember, they didn't want to include there's my brain in the early mornings. I'm sorry. I'm so focused on a Luka video, which is going to be awesome. It's going to come out later today. So better watch that.
Who's like PG or Kawhi you're talking about?
No. Goddamn.
Trey Mann.
Yeah. They want to trade Terrence Mann, who was like, wasn't getting the kind of run he should have been getting anyway the first couple of games. So it was like, what are we doing here? They didn't have to give him up. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Justa. My goodness. I feel embarrassed.
They said he was untouchable.
Right. It was weird. And he was, I guess, because they didn't have to give him up. So now, but here's what I find interesting is So why do they feel the pressing need to have to bring in Harden? They had, you know, a team that was maybe perhaps they could have given it a month or two to coalesce and see what they have. Do you have any ideas about that, Combo?
I mean, yeah, they needed an elite point guard. I think he fits well with their two-wing superstars. I mean, that's the thing that they didn't have. It could kind of let PG-13 and Kawhi – and PG-13 is a really good passer, but I don't think he's like really like a game manager at heart. You know, he's a wing, and Kawhi's a wing as well. And I think it lets them naturally fit into their positions while James Harden could be the point guard that he is. So I think it's a great fit in terms of archetype of player.
Someone in the comments is going to realize what I'm talking about, I think, because you're missing a really big thing here as you're describing the Clippers team. Someone knows what I'm talking about, and which reminds me of, if you want your questions answered, the best way to do that would be to super chat on YouTube. It helps us keep the lights going, keeps the lights on, the show going, and we really, really appreciate that, and we'll give you a lot of love if you do that. So, but someone in the comments must know what I'm thinking of right now as I'm watching Clippers footage from the first three games. Hey, how about Clippers footage from last year, too? Why would they want to bring in someone like James Harden? You just described what they needed, right? Even though they probably have someone like this on their team, right? You would think that they would. No one.
Do you seem to think my assessment was unfair?
Aha. We're going to give LeCook a little shine, even though he's not a super chat. What happens to Westbrook playing well now? Is he, though? Now, Westbrook is a guy who I've, you know, spent a lot of time breaking down and going through his game. Primarily because it's the volume of plays that he makes in any game he plays in. It's just, you know, hard to ignore what he does, especially because he's got this, he's on a pedestal, you know, generally of how people feel about how well he is. But that said, I think the last few years we've sort of seen, you know, where Russ has sort of evolved to, even though I think he's always kind of been that way. But when you say Russ is playing well, okay, let's go through the numbers here, because that is sort of true. Overall, for the three games he's played, he's averaging 30 minutes a game, and he's shooting 60% from the field, 50% from three, you know, a little under seven assists per game, seven rebounds, you know, and 3.3 turnovers and 11.3 points.
I think also we have to take into consideration, it seems to be a good personality fit there. Like PG-13 is comfortable with him. The team seems to like him. It seems to be good vibes in LA. So I think that's an important piece of it as well.
We'll see, because if you're throwing Russ and we already saw Russ and Harden together a couple of different places, I don't know if that worked that well, right? Like, I don't think that, I'm not saying anything out of turn, right?
It worked well with the Thunder. It was a different situation. Obviously, James was coming off the bench.
Yeah, but I think that there were. I don't know if Russ and Harden might be great friends, but I don't know. I don't know how well that will work. It feels like it didn't work right in Houston either.
You might think that James Harden needs like shooting around him because he's a point guard, but I also think, you know, if Russell Westbrook can move without the basketball, attack and transition only when he gets it, you know, create gravity in that way, not as a shooter, obviously. He's not the greatest shooter, but, you know, just cut through space and be that energy guy and play defense and grab rebounds and make the right play and have the right personality to mix with this team. I think it could be okay. I don't think it's a terrible fit. I think those four guys fit well together. I think the interesting thing is who would play with them, maybe, if they all started.
Well, yeah. Did I miss something in the comments? Someone says that you think Harden should move to the bench. Did you say that in this show?
No, I said OKC was a different situation where Harden was off the bench.
Yeah, because he ain't coming off the bench here. I'll tell you that right now. He's going to start. No. So
yeah, he's gonna start.
So here's what they must be looking at, because you obviously, when you have guys like Kawhi and Paul George, you're better off when you have like the Chris Paul, somebody you can kind of get everybody organized into the offense, because
floor general, right?
Yeah. They come off of screens a lot, you know? And so I actually went back and watched some of the Brooklyn Nets footage in the playoffs in 2021, I guess, when they beat the Celtics and then lost in seven to, the Bucks when, Giannis hurt, Kyrie. And I wanted to see how, whatever, when Kyrie sprained his ankle somehow. And yeah, nonetheless. And I wanted to see how Harden was functioning around those two guys. It isn't going to be the same. It will be the same with KD, because KD moves a lot like, I'm sorry, Paul George moves a lot like KD. Kawhi does too. They'll come off of those screens. They like pin downs. So you'll see a lot of that kind of stuff, which is easy for Harden to just throw the ball and then they do their thing on the right wing. So that's one thing. But when you watch them alongside Kyrie, it's going to be a lot different than it is to have both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the same, you know, on either side of the floor. But I think it'll be really dynamic for them. That said, I think what the Clippers were looking at was they needed someone like that because Russell Westbrook is not that guy. And even though he was shooting well to start the season, we already are seeing some of the same stuff we'd seen in LA for the Lakers and now the Clippers. When you look at the 10 turnovers he's committed so far, it's not like a high volume, but then again, he's not having the ball as much in his hands. Some of them are really so troubling that anybody on the bench would be like, we can't get this guy. This guy cannot be that role. He still does those crazy turnovers where he dribbles off his foot, or he literally combo. I almost wish I could show it. You wouldn't believe he threw a turnover this year already. He was inbounding the ball on the baseline and threw the ball off the back of the head of a defender who was standing in front of him.
So you don't seem to think this will work because of Russell Westbrook.
Well, I think this is why they had to bring in Harden by any means necessary. Although the deal ends up being pretty decent for them with who they had to send out. But that was the decision. They said, we cannot handle this at all with what we have because Russell Westbrook is not a guy. I mean, listen, they were down two and they missed a three from Kawhi and Russell gets the rebound about 8 feet from 9 feet from the hoop and just airballs the shot. You know, it's the same stuff that we keep seeing that you can't rely on under pressure in the fourth quarter when you're going to play these defenses. They're going to load up on Kawhi and Paul George. So they had to bring in Harden, even with Harden's baggage, which, you know, very well playing in L.A. could be a terrible thing for him where he's not, you know, focused on the game as much. He might get out of shape. All those things are worth more than having to deal with what they had at the moment.
I mean, Russell was an addition in itself, right? I mean, he's fairly new to the team. So I don't know if they're thinking like, because of Russell, we need to bring in James. Is that like, do you have inside information on that? Or do you believe that to be the case?
Or the footage? I mean
he's not a pure point. You're saying he's not a pure point guard. Like he can't set up the team. And they need somebody like that. But you could also say that about PG-13 is not a pure point guard. Kawhi is not a pure point guard. They're not point guards at all. So that's just the player that they need. I don't know if it all goes on Russell because of that.
I wanted to take a second to tell you about how fun it is to download Prize Picks and discover how much fun it is by making skill-based, real money fantasy sports entries. And best of all, you're only competing with yourself. Prize Picks offers frequent discounts, bonuses, and other exciting offers. Players can enjoy community-wide promotions, including Taco Tuesday and Flex Friday. I love that you can choose two or more players from any sport, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. I went bold this weekend by picking Kirk Cousins to throw for more than 275.5 yards, go Vikes, and Justin Fields, less than 184.5 yards, bear down. And will add a whole new level to my game-watching experience, as I hope some of these guys throw that ball down the field a lot. Go to prizepicks.com/CLNS and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CLNS. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Oh, well, I mean, however you want to look at this, they understand through the crucible of having to win a title this year. This is like their last year. The Clippers have one last chance, it looks like. So you had to upgrade that position. There was no choice if that's what they wanted to do. So because of that, and by the way, like if you were hoping, okay, Russell Westbrook's shooting a little bit better, okay, maybe that's he's going somewhere, but it's not. You can tell. And by the way, we know he ain't going to shoot 50% from three-point land like he's been so far. And so that will regress to the 32-33% they normally is. And that's, you know, and then plus you still have the turnovers and just the strange decisions he makes, especially in crunch time. So they needed someone who could upgrade that. I suppose Harden was the best choice you're going to find.
Here's my thing. They needed Harden before Russell Westbrook, and they still need Harden after Russell Westbrook to make them a better team, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. They needed Harden. They needed somebody better at that position. And that's probably why Russ would go to the bench, which would probably be better for him. If he goes up against second units, it's probably going to be the best version we're going to get of it.
I actually think they might try and start all of them.
Okay, well, let's go through that. So if it's all of them, it's going to be Russ and Harden in the backcourt, PG, Kawhi, and Zubats. Okay. That might work. Terrence Mann off the bench. Who else do they have off the bench now?
You know, Russ could play like that. Like, Russ would be, like, interesting at, like, a small ball four.
Right. They got Bones and Powell and Plumlee. Yeah, I mean, they have some nice, you know, they have the team, right? Especially when you have PG and Kawhi who are healthy. That's a team you cannot count out, but they're just never healthy.
And yeah, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, James is kind of obviously he's had his issues in the playoffs at times, but he's an Iron Man. He's going to play. You know, he's going to play. It really comes down to if Kawhi and PG-13 are playing.
Yeah, and what we've seen with James is when he is worn down at the end of the year, it's because he's heliocentric and doing all the work. He will not have to do all the work at all. And in fact, when you watch a lot of the assists to KD, for instance, he just had to throw it to him, and KD would do a three dribble move and pull up and just nail some tough shot. We'll definitely see that with Kawhi and Paul George. So I think together that's a nice three. If you know Harden is in shape and ready to go, it might take him a little while to kind of get back into game shape. But if they can keep him focused on that stuff, then I certainly think that this could be a team that would threaten anybody in the West. I mean, I guess aside from Denver, who's looking completely unbeatable in my mind. I don't know how they deal with that. Like, how would they deal with Denver? I mean, Zubac is a big body who can, you know, sort of bang a little bit with Jokic, but I don't think he's ever had much success defending him. But I think around the other sides, you know, can those guys, the skinny versions of Kawhi and Paul George, handle guys like Aaron Gordon?
Can you go like five guards and space out Jokic?
Five guards. Okay, so like talking about like Powell and are you talking about Kawhi and PG being guards at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it would be tough on defense because you need somebody to guard Jokic, but nobody's guarding Jokic anyway.
So, interesting. I think they tried that. I feel like we'd seen that a little bit because Lou likes to go small, and they, you know, they don't have Batum. Batum was the guy who they would kind of figure they could try it. But, yeah, I suppose that's possible. Just let Jokic kind of eat and limit everybody else. But
Harden on defense is better on a big, not saying Jokic, but in general, you could go with that small ball lineup and put Harden on one of the bigs. He's actually better against bigs than he is against smalls.
He is. That is true. He has, as Dave before, my old podcast partner said, he is very stout. And, come on, you're talking about Harden trying to guard.
I definitely said not Jokic, but in general.
Not Jokic in general. Yeah, all right. Yeah, but hey, why not? Let's find out. Like, that could be fun too.
But also, who's guarding Jokic? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, is it that big of a difference if you put an average big on Jokic than Harden? Is it that much of a difference? I don't know.
I mean, probably, because, you know, in theory, Jokic would score almost every single time against small guys like that, right? I feel like he just bought back.
That's true. That's fair.
Look, you know,
that's fair. Runners. And then Harden will be tired.
Right. It's not like, okay, you guard Steph Curry with, you know, a terrible defender. Like, he's still only going to hit 40% of his.
Imagine Jokic versus the Warriors. He's going to destroy them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to put Draymond or, you know, but listen, I have to look at,
Toast.
Looney. I have to look at Looney again.
Toast. And then what Jamal Murray would do to that backcourt if CP3 and Steph are getting minutes together. Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, CP3 came off the bench, by the way, the other night, which was good to see. And Steph Steph's on a heater, but not as much of a heater as Luka Doncic, by the way. So, again, the video I'm doing is really cool as I'm breaking down how he's scoring, how he's assisting.
A true basketball savant.
Yeah, and absolutely. And he just controls the game. He's like Zinedine Zidane in soccer, those guys who – although those guys don't score much in soccer and they control the game.
How do you explain how, like, the C's just open up for him, some, like, more than other players?
So that's a great question. He's not fast, right? He just needs to get you on sideways, on his side, because then his big body, it's over. Like, he likes to create contact. They're not going to call it. There's a number of times where he's getting that left elbow or the left forearm into the defender. Mm-hmm. And he had one on Zaire Smith the other night that was, you know, the whole crowd was like, oh, the guy went flying. He might have lost a little bit. But
to change topics slightly, Zaire, he got some stuff, man. Saw some stuff like off the dribble threes. He got some talent, that guy.
I mean, listen, he's in the NBA for a reason.
some guys his size can't, like, he got some talent. Like, he got some stuff that other guys don't have, you know?
Yeah. But getting back to Luka, you know, he, once he gets downhill, he doesn't really beat anybody off the dribble per se. he gets him stuck on their hip, and then that's it. He just rides into the basket. And if you're trying to come over to help, he's just going to, you know, find a wide open shot or a layup.
Also, I think, like, he keeps control of his gears. He's probably a little bit faster than people think, because if you see a transition, sometimes he does push fast. Where you're like, oh, I mean, the guy is 6'8", 6'9", and he's going pretty fast in transition. But he'll never be at that pace, because then he always wants the ability to get to the next gear whenever he wants.
Exactly. And it's just more versions of him controlling the game. And he's laughing out there. He literally is laughing. Like, that shot he hit a half-hook bank shot from three-point land to win the game the other night. And it was ridiculous. And you could tell nobody else on the other team, on the team, wanted to shoot the ball. They're like, please, Luka, take it. They kept giving it back to him. He's like, okay. Now, this gets to the whole MVP conversation, which we've had before, which kind of folded into like Giannis winning and Shaq, where I always felt like, by the way, did you just give me a thumbs up?
That wasn't me.
Where is the thumbs up coming from? It happened in my, when I was recording my political podcast. Where are the thumbs up coming from? Is it from... you know, where is it? Do I get enough thumbs up on YouTube and all of a sudden it pops up here? I can't figure it out. If anybody in the comments knows how that thumbs up disappeared next to my head, please let me know. Anyway, the whole thing about the MVP, which I've never understood, is how can you win the MVP of the NBA and not have the role of the coach gives you the ball last possession and says, go win us the game. Now, Giannis wasn't really that guy. It's Middleton has the ball, and he's going to run the pick and roll with Giannis, and he'll roll and they'll do stuff. But sometimes Giannis has that role, but not always. And, you know, Shaq was the same way because they were afraid of free throws, the same with Giannis. And so in my mind, it's like the only way you should be an MVP is if you are that guy, if you are the Kobe, if you are the Michael, if you are the Wade, who else, you know, all those kind of guys. Have the ball in their hand, they're going to create a shot. So that was the interesting thing. So when you're watching what Luka is doing right now, he is going to have to carry this Dallas Mavericks team to almost every win, it looks like, right? That is an MVP. So that's why I'm thinking that he's going to get it this year.
Yeah, I like him. I like SGA. I mean, I think those two guys have a great chance, but Luka's really on a burner right now. You know, to your Dame Giannis point, I said this before the season, like, if the Bucks can go all the way, there's a world where there will be this debate. Who's the Batman? Who's the Robin? And on top of that, if they could win it all, like, people will start having that conversation. Is Dame the best player in the NBA? Because he's going to have the stats. He's going to have the moments in the playoffs. He's going to have the basketball in crucial situations.
Right.
Because he's that guy who could create his own, and he's a great free throw shooter.
So and he's a great three-point shooter.
So he's just going to be the guy for that team on the offensive side of the basketball when push comes to shove in the playoffs and if they make it to the finals.
Absolutely. And that's what it should be. And by the way, Middleton should have been the guy doing that. That was they did the best what they could do with that team. So it's not even necessarily a knock on Giannis. The only knock you'd have on Giannis is that his free throw shooting tends to be so poor. And he isn't great a lot of times in the half court when the defense is set. Honestly, that is an issue that he's had because he doesn't sort of, you know, he just goes in there as if the defense isn't there and knocks people over. The offensive charges and turns it over sometimes.
And here's the difference between Chris and Dame. I mean, both great scorers. Chris is more of a get-to-your-spot type scorer. Dame could break the game wide open by making shots before the defense even gets set, which is really dangerous.
And his passing is underrated as well. I think his passing is also the kind of thing that sets guys up in a really profound way. So, and by the way, Giannis is the most dominant player in the NBA, aside from probably Jokic. And, you know, when you get him going in the full court, there's nothing to stop him. That's great.
Two-way dominance, for sure.
Yeah, and also on the defensive end as well. Yeah. So maximize all that in the first three quarters and three or three and a half quarters. And then when it comes down to it, it's going to be the Dame time. And that's how it should be. That's the best version of their team. That's all that matters. And by the way, that's all that matters to Giannis. I don't think he cares about MVPs or all that stuff either.
He said it recently.
When I mentioned that on Twitter, it's like people, Bucks fans really get triggered. There's no other way to put it, but no one can dispute that he isn't the guy that the coach gives him the ball and says, win us the game. Generally, it's not him. Now, that's the other thing is that criteria is only my criteria for what MVP is. I don't know what the MVP is other than that. I guess it's the best player, most dominant player. I don't know. But for me, if you're the MVP, it's that guy. And I've never understood it. That's why even when Shaq got it, you know, it was always a little weird to me. All those guys who aren't that role on their own team doesn't make sense to me that they win it generally for the NBA. But we have a couple super chats. Let's get to those. We have Cliffside. Thank you so much, Cliffside. Very generous. Really appreciate it. He asks, have any NBA teams use your new defensive system? So I've showed it to a couple of NBA teams. And I can just say this. No NBA team is going to run my defensive thing without like a Division I team running it first. Now, I had a D1 team run it for one game for six possessions last year. And it's a three-year plan for me right now. This year, we have Division II team running it. And by the way, well, I'm just going to tell you, they want to keep it under wraps. So I'm going to say this Division II team beat a Division I team in a scrimmage running it 20 times in the second half. And if you miss anything, if you go back and look for Chase defense in my timeline, it's not that long ago, I designed a zone where you play behind the ball. And it creates so much havoc. And the D2 team isn't even quite getting all the way behind all the time. But you can see that it's causing turnovers and mid-range jump shots and floaters with hand up. And you also get the benefit of runouts because you're now sort of behind and have an advantage to go back the other way. So it's a three-year plan for that. This year, D2. Next year, D1 teams running it. And then the third year, we'll get some NBA teams to do it.
It's a good plan. Love it.
Yeah. All right. We have another super chat. We got one from Martin Jose, best friend of the breakdown. Hey, Martin, what's going on, my man? The Nets got to start Cam Thomas for the rest of the season. He gives the team buckets. He does. He was also giving up buckets against Luka when they were targeting him a little bit. Oh, that's the other thing about Luka, which is like the LeBron thing. They just find the one guy that you can't afford to have on the ball on Luka and just torture the guy. I mean, it was the same way with we tortured Jaren Jackson Jr., reigning defensive player of the year. And then he also did that against Memphis Xavier.
What's that word when you enjoy, like in the horror movies, it's Halloween, so this is fitting, where you enjoy killing people and destroying them? A masochist? Is that the word?
Okay.
And then, yeah, that's what Luka is, because he seems so happy just destroying that one guy.
I almost feel like the target, the guy who keeps wanting to defend him, keeps getting.
Okay, that's the correct term.
He's a sadist. Yeah, Luka is the sadist part of that, where he's enjoying just torturing everybody. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny. He's smiling all the way through.
Yeah, but it's the kind of thing that we saw with Harden. Let's get back to Harden then. Harden wore down those years when he played like that. So the only good thing they have going here is that there is Kyrie, who he can, you know, take some of the load off. In that way. And it's going to be interesting to see exactly how Kyrie complements this so far. It's been working okay, but these games have been a little closer than I'm sure the Mavericks front office is.
Kyrie didn't play, right? This last one.
He didn't, no. Yeah. So he's already been, you know, is he, you know, going to be injury prone? We don't know. Let me just get the oh crap. Where's my Kyrie game log here?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Quickly pick. So in his game log, he didn't play the third game, but the first game he was, you know, 22 points on, you know, he actually has not been very efficient at all. I got to take a deep dive into that and figure out what's going on with that. And that's not one of the reasons why these games are closer than they probably should be to some of these teams, because I'm sure they feel like they're better than the Spurs and better than Brooklyn, and more than they shouldn't have to go to the wire against those guys. But that's the issue you got to deal with in terms of Harden, is that, you know, he's not going to wear down now because he's got the two guys. Is Luka going to wear down like Harden used to? Is probably an interesting question. I don't think, do you think he would?
Who will Luka wear down?
Is going to wear down, because we've seen it already. He's already played this way for several years and hasn't really.
Nah, the pace he plays with, I think, allows him, you know, to sustain himself throughout the course of the season. Do I believe in his team enough for them to win a championship? Not really, though. You know, I just don't think they have enough. I mean, Grant Williams is going to have a really good season. I think he's going to have more opportunity this year. He's going to be able to shoot with no pressure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he had more guys playing his position with the Celtics, so it was a little bit tougher. I think he'll be more free-flowing. Derek Lively is going to have to – he's a rookie. He's going to have to play really well for them to be good, which is a lot – which is a tough ask for a rookie. They just don't have enough, in my opinion, but he's great. I don't think he'll wear down. I think in the playoffs he's going to be an absolute monster.
just don't think they have enough around him.
Oh, the Suns said the same thing, and look what happened there. So it's like, you know, every time you say that in a playoff series where, you know, you got to win four in a week, you got to stop Luka four times. I don't know how easy that's going to be. Let's finish the Cam Thomas. Have you looked at his stats? I didn't even realize this. Do you know what he's averaging right now?
33.
Yeah. There you go. Wait, where did my oh, my goodness. Where did my tab go? 33 points and on ridiculous shooting splits. Here it is. He's shooting 61% from the field. He's taken over four threes a game. He's only making 31% of those. Last year he was better. So we don't really know exactly where he's going to land on the three-point shooting arc. I got to take a deep dive and look at that. But, you know, obviously it's going to come down to earth a little bit. But, yeah, he's a bucket. We know he's been a bucket even last year, you know, in his limited playing time. He's able to score.
An absolute professional scorer. Just, you know, his weaknesses are pretty weak. That's the issue. Like, he doesn't defend that well, and he doesn't play with his teammates. But the guy could score the basketball.
Yeah.
Like some of the best players in the league. Like, literally. Like, that guy is a bucket.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if any other super chats before we go on. But, okay, Lively. Derek Lively the second.
Love
Jeez Louise. I mean, so I remember I was kind of curious. Oh, they're going to start him maybe? Like, in the preseason, they were talking about that, whatever. It's like, oh, this is how far the Mavericks have fallen. But I got to tell you, you kind of forget sometimes how valuable vertical spacing is. We talk about vertical spacing, but you know, we don't have it as much anymore. I'm trying to picture, like, who are those guys that are rolling, because there's so much kicking for threes.
They got guys. Nick Claxton, Clint Capella, you know, Lively, Plumlee.
Yeah, they're still around. They don't seem like they have a lot of, like, very profound effect on the game. But I got to tell you, when you have Luka, and now you pair him with Lively. Now, that's a whole different story. So I have to feel bad. Has anyone checked on Zach Collins recently? Because this dude got just murdered a couple times at the rim. I mean, climbing the ladder and just dunking all over him. And, in fact, one of them was embarrassing. Luka made the wrong decision. Collins didn't step up to Luka to contest. So he just would have had a little bit of a floater, no contest at all. He throws a lob anyway, and it forced Lively to climb up the back and just nail Collins to the dunk. So if they could keep that up and he doesn't get hurt, because that you get worried a little bit about guys going underneath guys who fly that high. This is a whole nother level that they really haven't had for a while. I mean, Kleba, by the way, can get up. He had a nice lob to him as well in one of his assists. And that's a little bit of a thing. But Lively's going to attract a lot more attention. The guy, no one's going to want to get embarrassed by him. And that's going to start opening up the kickouts to threes. So I think that there is going to be the thing where if the Mavericks lose the game, it's going to be because they got outscored. It's not going to be because someone shut them down.
So with Lively, you know, covering the draft as I do on my podcast, I always said, and I had a pre-draft, you know, lottery episode, and we talked about, like, Lively, that Mavs team was the perfect fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a read and react type offense like the Heat or like the Warriors, I don't think he'd be as good. But just all he has to do is rim run, catch lobs, play defense, and just play with a guy like Luka who's going to make him look great. So I thought it was not only the perfect fit for the Mavs, it was the perfect fit for him. And here we are. He looks great.
Was he doing this in college?
First half of the season was tough, and then he started doing it towards the end, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I can't picture in my mind going through his footage. I don't remember if I saw some of these ridiculous hops and whatever.
But yeah. He played better. He played better for Duke towards the end.
Okay, so yeah, because this is this opens up a lot of things. And again, you're right. He's a rookie, so you got to be worried about him defensively and fouling and all that kind of stuff. But Luke is already showing the kind of trust in him like a veteran, where he had one dime. He just threw it up to him. He was wandering kind of half behind Zach Collins and just threw the ball where only Lively can catch it. Not only did he make the really tough catch over the shoulder, but then in one move, he was reverse laying it in where Collins had no chance to even get a hand up. So those kind of plays will continue to get Luka more confidence in him, and then he'll keep finding him. And it's going to be exciting. I'm trying to think, who else has Luka had alongside like that? Did they have JaVale with him in Dallas? And now I'm like literally blanking in those other teams that he was on. It wouldn't be hard to look real quick, but this is a new level, I think, for him. And I think he's going to have a lot of fun with it, because it just makes the game. You don't have to be accurate at all on these passes when you just get near the rim.
Imagine Luka and prime DeAndre Jordan. That would have been amazing.
Yeah. Well, DeAndre Jordan, remember, he'd gone to Dallas, I think, before Luka got there, and they made him change his mind. So he might have already been there. He had like Chris Wood. You know, who else did he have? let's say.
They try.
He was there, but always injured.
Powell.
Powell. So here's the thing about Powell. I'm sure he's the best, teammate you'd ever want to have. Great locker room guy. Every team would want him. But he's going to hold you back. You cannot play him more than 15 minutes a game. He's just all over the place. And I mean, like physically, he's just sort of just doesn't control his body that well. And he just, you know, you can find the right 15 minutes for him. Great. And that's about it.
I think like Luke has played with a lot of guys like that, right? Like he hasn't really had a lot of like true winning playoff players on his team. Not enough of them, in my opinion, to really make them legit.
Yeah, I'm going through all the rosters right now to see any of these other verticals.
It's not good, Bob.
Yeah. He had KP, who is not really the vertical threat. I feel like, you know, he mostly pops a lot and that kind of thing. Yeah, so this is probably the first time that he's had a guy who can come in and do this. And then you know, I'm anxious to see. We haven't quite seen the progression yet where now – because, because either he's scoring layups or he's throwing up for lobs. I'm anxious to see now after they adjust and start maybe collapsing, then we're going to start seeing kickouts. And then, again, it's not going to be because they are shut down. The reason the Mavericks lose any games are going to be because they got outscored. They're going to put the ball in the basket at a high rate, and the other team's going to have to do it at a higher rate to beat them.
They should look to get Brogdon.
Malcolm Brogdon?
Yeah, I mean, when Kyrie's unavailable sometimes, he could come off the bench. I know them two in the backcourt wouldn't be good because they're small, but at least he could, like, add some scoring punch. Like, they need good basketball players.
Like they probably need, like, somebody who's more, like, you know, defensive-minded, too. Like,
that's
you
true.
Know, I don't even know, like, Royce O'Neal, but they need a guy like that who can, you know, who's going to really focus, you know.
Josh Hart type?
Yeah, they need more of those kind of guys. Yeah. And by the way, I mean, I love, I love him so much. I'm forgetting his name, from Australia.
Giddey.
No, on the Mavericks, Josh Green, the other Josh.
Oh, Josh Green.
Yeah. He's developing really nicely as well and could become one of those guys. So I'm telling you, there might be some development with some of these guys here, with Lively and with Green, where they might end up being able to fill in what they need, on the run and make it work by the playoffs. We'll see. Jason Kidd, is he up for it? I don't know. But do we have to, is there anything else we have to put in terms of the Harden trade?
I think we covered that.
Well, certainly I think we covered the Clippers version now, how that might look, I think. I don't know if we really dug too much deeper into the Sixers side.
I think I talked a little bit about it, but I mean, Batum's a good locker room guy. I think Rocco could help a winning team. I just, you know, KJ Martin, he could be a trade piece in the future. Mm-hmm. But like, I just think it all comes down to like, will Joel Embiid want to stay with this? Like,
right.
Is this legitimately a team he feels could win a championship? He's been through this with Ben. He's been through something like this with James Harden. And I feel like Sixers fans are happy that somebody who doesn't want to be there is not there anymore. And they believe, okay, we're clearing the way for Joel. But most people who aren't Sixers fans believe like Joel won't end his career with the Sixers. And they're looking to get him in a trade. Like Knicks fans have all kinds of trade packages ready for Joel Embiid. I just don't know how this is going to go. Is it going to be rebuild around Maxi? I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they have pieces around him. Again, Embiid is a guy who is a dominant player, an MVP candidate. You know, with Tobias, you know, they lose PJ Tucker, but they have they're going to bring it, like, you know. So you have what's the starting lineup now for them? Maxi,
Tobias, Joel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to play. You could start Morris.
I get. I mean, if he's healthy, so you want to do Morris and Harris together? Interesting. Okay.
I feel like Harris could be a three and Morris could be a four.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just like the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, not like Clippers, but then, like, you know.
And then you got Maxi.
Yeah. Oh, and then you have Oubre, who hasn't started yet, but he is there. The Anthony Melton who has been starting for them, so that's right. Now I'm looking, thinking about this. So. It's right. I don't think this is a championship team. It doesn't sort of scream to me that this is a championship team, even, you know, with this going on. And again, when you trade a Harden, you think you're going to bring in somebody a more of a headliner like that. So this is a weird trade. I think I think something happened, right? Harden wanted to get on the plane. They wouldn't even let him do that, which they could have, unless something was just so wrong. They're like, we just need to get rid of it. And I think maybe that something happened there that made them rush this trade
It was a distraction. So you might as well cut it off and let it just, instead of James Harden just hovering around and being toxic for what's going on over there, you know? I mean, it's not toxic from his point of view, but from the Sixers' point of view, I'm sure it is.
Right, right. Oh, and we must not forget Pat Beverly on the team as well, who is going to, not necessarily going to get you to a championship, but is going to make things interesting. By the way, someone's asking if Embiid has a post game. Yes, he has a post game without question. Does he use it all the time? No, but he certainly has it. I finally saw him do a really nice, sort of dream shake the other day.
That guy has everything.
Yeah, so he's the guy, and he's been able to persevere, and stay on the court, as much as he can for a guy who falls down so much. And takes dives, and he had an embarrassing flop after getting ripped by Giannis in that video. By the way, go watch people didn't watch the Embiid versus Giannis video. I don't know why. Do you have any ideas? That should have been a big marquee matchup video.
No, maybe there's a lot of videos like that.
I don't know. I mean, grab it. The Bucks won. Giannis looked pretty good, except for the couple shots down the stretch, and then Dame was awesome. So anyhow. I think that kind of covers all of that as far as what they have. But yeah, the Sixers, it feels like they need to make another trade. But, KJ Martin isn't going to be, there's something there. He did nicely last year and he's a young player.
They have some picks too. They got in the trade. They got the picks.
So you're right. They you can't discount Daryl Morey. He might have something up his sleeve here. And by the way, you keep saying that Cajun Martin's a future trade asset. It might even be that way, where he knew that this team covets him. Although now we have to kind of figure out that who would that be?
It's obviously they're going to be looking to somebody who could be a star next to Joel. So I don't know if there's anybody available for that right now. What, Pascal?
And right, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a forward or a guard. Like they could plug either one of those in there as they need it, and I think that would work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, keep your eye on that. But I would anticipate, another trade, because I think Philly needs to, A, upgrade, and B, worry that Embiid's going to demand a trade at some point, and that would be a bit of a nightmare, too. We have another Super Chat as we start wrapping up the show. We have Big Man Sam. Thank you so much. So generous. Great Super Chat. Really, really appreciate that. Some interesting teams to watch right now in the Central Division with Indy, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Cleveland. Detroit, they're looking like they're finally turning some things around. Thoughts on Durin, aka Drummond, with their motor, and how quickly do the Bulls need to blow it up? The Bulls needed to blow it up 2 years ago, I think. This is not working at all. But who is the, I guess it's DeRozan is the guy who has the most value. If you're not going to trade LaVine in his contract, maybe he's not tradable. So they could probably start breaking some things down. So if DeRozan is on the market, by the way,
I think LaVine's a better fit than DeRozan next to Embiid.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
Because now DeRozan and Harris, that's a weird thing.
I mean, also Embiid and DeRozan operate in the same area, even though they're different positions.
So, say it again.
DeRozan and Embiid operate in the same areas, even though they're different positions.
That's interesting. I guess so. Yeah. But DeRozan, if he's on the market, it's not the best fit in Philly the way that would be going, but,
LaVine is nice, though. LaVine's a good fit there. He's definitely
right.
There.
LaVine is. I don't know if they can handle. I mean, LaVine's contract is massive. Okay. So that's
maybe Morey could find a way.
But by the way, who they brought back after getting Harden's contract off is not a huge numbers either. So who knows? Someone needs to do the math and figure that out. So Durin looks terrific. I think he might be better than Drummond. I would hope.
Drummond was great for his era. It's just his era is not here anymore.
I don't think he ever. He didn't have good hands. I think he was empty stats. Unfortunately, I love you, Andre, but I don't think he was ever impactful like that.
Okay.
So let's see. I think what they're doing now in Detroit is they're in the right direction finally. And Monty is definitely going to have them playing better and more competitively. So that's really good to see. I might have to do a Pistons breakdown this year.
Cade's the real deal.
I can't tell you the last time I did a Pistons video. It's got to be.
I'm sure you've done a video on every team.
Well, I did a video on Cade at some point, so I know I did that. But I'm pretty sure. But again, as a team, probably not. So anyway, I'm excited. It's finally time. We're seeing OKC.
Asar Thompson is really good. Asar Thompson is really good at basketball, and he's an elite athlete.
he's an elite athlete. There's no question. The highlights are impressive. So we'll see how that goes as they as the other teams adjust and figure
out. He could just play. Like, I mean, that combination of just being good at basketball and being an elite athlete, I mean, that's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, it is. We'll find out more. Let me really quickly check this. Right. So, all right, let's go on. We have one more super chat, I think, as we wrap the show up here. Alan Tran, thank you, Alan. The Sixers need to target Hield and Brogdon.
I like that.
Yeah, Buddy Hield is great on any team. I love him. He's just a sharp shooter, just a good complimentary player. And Brogdon, yeah, I suppose Brogdon helps anybody as well. So there's no question. And we know he's on the block, right?
Yeah, no, not technically, but he should be, like, just looking at what Portland's doing.
And by the way, like, you know, we shouldn't overlook, like, Indiana. Well, actually, let me look at Hield right now. Hield is not starting. Coming off the bench, and he's playing 21 minutes a game, and he's shooting well from three, but not overall. I got to go check some of the Indiana footage because I'm kind of curious about what's going on there under Rick Carlisle.
He decided an extension, so something good's happening.
Yeah. So they had a decent start, and they have some nice pieces that they deserve a video because there's some pieces out there that are sort of under the radar, and you don't necessarily know guys like Nemhart and
Toppin. Toppin's going to get opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they have it's a team. It's a true team there.
Yeah.
And then we love Halliburton and the way he plays.
It's nice. So, it's nice when teams that are rebuilding are still a team, right? Like, on the way up, they're not just like, like, they're a good basketball team, even though they're not good enough to be among the contenders or the true playoff teams, you know? They're good.
They'll be fun. They'll be competitive, and that's all you can ask for when you're talking about that, not like as opposed to tanking. Well, listen, Combo, I got to get back. Oh, there's another super chat from William Kim. Thank you so much for the super chat. What are your thoughts on Maxey? You go first.
He's great, dynamic, keeps getting better, scores the basketball, future all-star in my opinion. I mean, the guy is good, three-level scorer and a hard worker, and he should be definitely one of the guys that they build around moving forward.
I mean, listen, they're taking advantage. He's taking advantage big time that Harden is not out there. And I mean, should we run through his stats real quick? He's averaging over 30 a game.
Maxey or Poole?
Maxey for sure, right? I mean, at this point, Maxey.
I think so.
Although that would be a good comparison, I think. But this year, certainly with the start, Maxey probably takes a couple less shots that are wild like Poole does, right? You know, mm-hmm. but Poole is so good with his skill level that it's like you can understand why he's going to try some of those shots. Maxey's a little bit more within himself, right? A little bit more of like floater, pull up off the dribble, you know, like sort of.
There's more consistency with Maxey for sure. Just Jordan Poole has that. Are we allowed to curse on this?
No.
Okay. Has stuff in his game that like allows him to create literally something out of nothing that maybe, you know, a lot of the other players in the league don't have, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he's like a water bug. He's hyper quick. Just a good all around nice compliment, especially because they need that kind of scoring. You want inside out scoring with him and Embiid, although Embiid does outside scoring too. That's a good compliment. So, another reason why, I mean, they could get rid of Harden knowing that Maxey can do a lot of that stuff. He doesn't facilitate like Harden does at Harden's best, which is why you're thinking, maybe do they bring a Brogdon in or somebody else like that to help run that part of the show. But Maxey is really great, dynamic, just very valuable for them. And a really great, picking him up, I'm sure they never had envisioned him being, you know, a top starting guard in the league, which he seems to be on his way towards.
Yep, I agree.
All righty. Well, Combo, great show.
It was.
I can't wait to jump in on the video for Harden. So make sure you're out there watching it probably tomorrow or Thursday. I'll get it out. You going to have a good Halloween today? Or you already started your Halloween festivities?
Yeah, I went on a parade with Baby Combo. We might do some trick-or-treating with him. So everything's good. How's yours?
What did Baby Combo dress up like?
He was a dinosaur skeleton.
Ooh, okay.
Had a tail and everything.
I don't know what we're going to do. I know neighbors have a little party I might walk over to at some point, but.
Are you going to walk in there and go, hey, sports fans? Or no, you're not going to do that.
I don't know. It's funny. Last year I went, for one of my birthdays, we had a Beatles thing where a Beatles band played and we all dressed up like the Beatles. So I have a Sgt. Pepper's style red jacket. So I just wore that. And that was an interesting topic of conversation, but I don't know if I'm going to find a different, costume to wear this tonight.
Oh, you know, you should dress as the guy from Greece.
I've done that before. Kinnicky or yeah.
Yeah, I feel I feel like
they haven't enough hair anymore.
I feel like that could be your speed right there.
There is a photo of me. I wonder if I type in.
See how I'm a prophet. See how I see these things before, and I don't even know they happen.
Totally. I've done that before. It was funny. I was Kinnicky, and then my wife was pregnant. She was pregnant at the time, so she dressed like a nun.
A pregnant nun.
You know, the pregnant nun. It was really not okay, but
It was really not okay.
What if I, you know what? You know what you can do on iPhone now is you can type in the word nun.
And yeah, exactly.
Pictures of the nun, but I don't see it. So darn it. I must have it somewhere else. Anyhow, but good call. Henry Winkler Fonzie, for sure. That could be, I could do that as well. But I think I do have that T-Birds fake leather jacket. But nonetheless, happy Halloween to everybody. Please have a safe one. Don't open any candy that's already opened. And or don't eat the candy that's already opened, and just be safe. Nothing fun happens after midnight. My dad used to say, maybe we'll take it. Maybe we'll say 11 o'clock tonight on Halloween. And that's about it. Yeah. You know what? Will Ferrell, that would be great. I should do Jackie Moon or something like that.
That'd be funny. Yeah. Set my pro.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks Combo. Thanks everybody out there for the super chats. It was very generous and it helps us keep the lights on for the show. And if you missed some of this or all of this or whatever, you can always find it on our podcast, soon. And stay tuned. Luca coming up today. And what else? The Harden video coming up later this week. All righty. And don't forget, sports fans, at B-Ball Breakdown, we're not a channel, we're a conversation. You in? Are you in, Combo?
Yes, sir.